Welcome to the C3 Church Camden podcast. For more information about our church, please visit www.c3wc.com. We are so thrilled that you're listening today, and we hope you enjoy the message.
It's so good to be at the front of church and actually hear people singing behind you. It's been so long, hasn't it, Jimmy? It's been so long since you hear voices behind you. You guys are amazing. The presence of God. You see, I want to read you some words. These are words of King David, a man who had an intimate relationship with our God. And he got to the end of the life and he penned these words. They're found in Psalm 18. They're not on screen because I just thought of it at the beginning of the service. They're found in Psalm 18. And they're found in 2 Samuel 22, I think it is. At the end of David's life, he wrote this psalm. And there's no way I'm going to read the whole thing. But I want to read you, and I want you to listen to this, and as I read these words, why don't you declare them about your God over your life? This is a man reflecting on what God had done for him in his life. And how many people know that the life of David wasn't always easy? He had some ups and he had some downs. He had people misunderstanding him and misrepresenting him. It didn't go smooth for him. There were dark days and there were mountaintop experiences. But in the middle of all of that, he knew his God. And he gets to the end of his life, and he pens these words. He says, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me. And he's my place of safety. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise. And he saved me from my enemies. The ropes of death entangled me. Floods of destruction swept over me. Perhaps today you feel a bit like that. Because I felt today that the power of God is here to change that. I've been so desperate. That's why I'm breaking the rules and we're having an altar call today. I've been desperate to have an altar. We're going to do it COVID safe, like Jimmy said. But I just want us to have an opportunity. It's not breaking the rules because we're allowed to do this thing as long as we do it wisely. Don't, that's on live stream. We're not breaking any rules. We just want to make sure that we stay COVID safe. But I want us to encounter the power of God. Some of you, it's been so long, since long before COVID. You've kept your faith. You've stood the test. You've stuck at it. It's been hard, but you're still here. You're still standing. You're still in church on Easter Sunday 2021. And some of you today are going to get a fresh encounter with the power of God, a revelation of his power in your world that is going to lift you up, and it's not going to be so hard anymore. It's been a struggle, but today something's going to change on the inside of you and you're going to be impacted by a revelation. That goes for the other half of the church that are away on holidays and watching online as well. Half the church is here in the building and half are away on holidays, but if you're watching online live or on the replay, this is for you too. Jill said to me, lots of families away. Well, it's Easter and it's C3 Camden. That's the way it goes in this church. C3 picked it. Everyone was there. C3's the rule. I don't know why everyone was there today, but Camden people must go on holidays. But you're here. And the people online are here watching. The power of God is going to move in this place today. We're going to pray and we're going to declare. My prayer today is that you will, no matter where you've come from, no matter what's going on in your world, no matter what challenges you might be facing, no matter how far away from God you feel, no matter what you've done or has been done to you that maybe makes you feel like God is away or not interested in you or is distant, today I'm praying for a revelation in your heart, a revelation that God will open your eyes, that you will know that power. We're going to read that verse in a minute, but I want to keep reading this verse. Verse 4, David says, the ropes of death entangle me, floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. How many people think he's talking about a pretty desperate time that he found himself in? But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. When you're in distress, who do you go to? The one who is higher than you. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of those deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. Some of you have felt that way, like everything is stacked against you and it's all too much. David knows how you feel. But as he cried out to God, he testifies that God will come, stoop down, pick you up and rescue you. They attacked me at a moment when I was in distress. But the Lord supported me. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. Can we just thank our God one more time? Well, maybe, you know, not 43 more times, but maybe 3 or 4 more times. How's that sound? Let's sing that. Come on, let's declare that God is great, that he is awesome. Why don't you make these words, not just a song, but words in your mouth, declaring God over your life, God's power over you. Available to us. Well, you may be seated. Who's ready to encounter God? Who's already encountering God's power? So desiring that we would have that revelation of just how big, how powerful, how strong, how loving, how kind, and how for us he is. And so what we're going to do today is I'm not going to preach. We've just got it. We're going to do a bit of a devotion for a few moments. And then I'm going to open up this altar space and we'll talk through the how-tos of that and when the time comes so that we stay COVID safe. And if you would like prayer, if you have some areas in your world where you need a breakthrough, maybe an area of healing, maybe a loved one, maybe a challenge in your family, maybe it's just in your own relationship with God and you're feeling dry right now. I'm going to have an opportunity to pray for you. I'm not going to lay hands on you because I don't know who's comfortable with that or not, but I'm going to stand in front of you and I'm just going to pray. And it's not about me. I want you to attach yourself in faith to what God wants to do in your life. He wants to bring victory to your world. And some people are going to have a fresh encounter with his presence that you've not felt for a long time as we move on with the service. Today is Resurrection Sunday. As Jimmy said, Easter Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, the pivotal event in the Christian church. No resurrection, no Christianity. As Jimmy said, you can have a Christmas, but you don't have a Christianity without the resurrection. That sets Jesus apart from all other faiths, that our God died and rose again and ascended into heaven to defeat the power of death and sin and to show us that we can experience that power. And so we're going to look at a devotion and look at two people, just two people who experienced Jesus' resurrection. And my desire is that maybe as we do that, you might see yourself in one of these two people. You might identify with their experience. Because both these people had a life-changing encounter with Jesus while he was alive. And then they went through watching him die and that sense of hopelessness and thinking, what was all that about? What was that for? Jesus changed my life and now it's all gone. And then both these people experienced an encounter with the risen Jesus that just brought hope back. Some of you have experienced, I just feel the Holy Spirit saying now, some of you have experienced God's encounter in your life, but the last season has been like that. It's been as though Jesus is dead. It's been like there isn't hope. You experienced hope, you experienced change, but what's happened? Today, you're going to encounter God's resurrection power. Jesus is going to come to you again and spark a new life in you. Redeem hope, return hope to your life. But before we do, I want to read a passage out of the book of Ephesians. So if we could have that Ephesians passage on the screen, we're just going to have a look at this. This is a passage that Paul prays for the saints in Ephesus. And I have to look at this screen because Daniel tells me if I walk over there, I'm not on camera. So I'm going to look at this screen over here. That's why I've got my back to you, unfortunately. But this is a prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesians that he's writing to, the people he's writing to, but it's applicable to us today as well. He says, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I'm praying for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you wisdom and insight so you may grow in your knowledge of God, that you might experience something about God that is continually growing. God never wants you to stagnate in your faith. Friends, you can't live on yesterday's bread. You can't live on yesterday's revelation. There's always room to grow and experience new levels of intimacy with God. Paul is saying, I want you to keep growing. I'm praying that you will increase in wisdom, that you won't live just on what you've always had. You'll experience more. Grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. This term, this word light is a common motif in the letter of Ephesians. It's a very common motif. It talks about the glory of God. It's the same light that was visible when the angels were standing by the tomb or when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. It's that same glory, light and glory, power, strength, awesomeness of God. They're synonymous with each other. And Paul is praying that your hearts would experience that light on the inside, that you would know the glory of God on the inside. It would be flooded with light so you could understand this hope, this confident hope. There are times when we feel hopeless. We feel like we can't see a way out of our problems. It seems like it's dark. And Paul would pray, and my prayer for you today, if that's you, is that you would be flooded with light. The light would overcome the darkness. You know, you only need a tiniest bit of light to make the darkness go away. Even just a tiny flicker will turn the darkness away. You can switch your iPhone, and if it's accidentally on full in the middle of the night, have you noticed how bright it is? Or if even when it's on dim, even when it's on the dimmest setting, in the middle of the night, it's still so bright. Why? Because that's what light does. My prayer for you today is that you will have your light, your heart flooded with that light, like Paul is praying. That you may know this confident hope that is given to those he's called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Other versions say something to the effect of, they say that you would know that you are the hope, that hope has been given to you, his holy people. I pray, he talked about light and hope. Now he's going to talk about power. I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power that is available to us. I'm praying that you will get a revelation of that power. What is that power, Paul? Well, he says, I'm glad you asked. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in honor, at the place of honor, at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. That first song we sung is based on this very verse. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, that conquered the grave, lives in us. That same power, Paul is saying, I want you to get a revelation of that. You need that in order to live. I'm praying that over your life, he says. That power that seated him in the heavenly realms. Verse 21, now he is far above every ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Paul is saying there is no power, even in the the world to come. There is no spiritual power that can overcome the power of God that raised Christ from the dead. And that power is available to us today. It might seem insurmountable, it might seem hopeless, but Paul would say it's not hopeless because no power can overcome that power. He says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, I'm convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor demons, nor principalities or powers, nor anything else that's been created can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the prayer. And some of you are nodding and going, yeah, I know this, but here's the thing, friends. I felt the Holy Spirit say to me this afternoon, some of us know this here, but we've lost touch with it here. And God wants today to drop it from here to here. It's got to come back into your spirit. Because in your spirit, in your heart, is where it will actually take root and come alive. And you can just know it in your head and nod. And some of us have done that, and that's a good thing. But today, it's got to drop from here to here so you can leave confident that that same power that conquered the grave lives in you. Verse 22, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for whose benefit? Us. The reason Jesus died, the reason Jesus rose again, the reason Jesus ascended into heaven, the reason Jesus is seated by the Father, the reason Jesus has all things under his power is not for him, it's for us. He did that so that we could experience that power in our life, so that the church could become what God had called it to be, which is a transforming power on this earth to bring hope, to bring life. Today, we're going to experience that here. We're going to experience that online. And then during the week and into the future, we want to be people who take that power and that life and give it away to others. You with me? You're awfully quiet. Okay, is it all right? I've got nothing else, so it better be. All right, so that's Ephesians. That's my prayer for you. Now, I wanted to take, seeing as it's Resurrection Sunday, I want to look at a resurrection story. And as I said, I want to look at the story of the resurrection and take a moment and look at two people, Mary Magdalene and the Apostle Peter. And as I said, both of these people had experienced transformation in their world. Jesus had touched them, healed them, prepared them, changed their world, changed their life. And then they had both been there and seen Jesus die and seen a sense of hopelessness. So we're going to look at this story. And then I'm going to go old school on you. We're going to play a song from like 30 years ago. And all you Gen Xers are going to go, oh, I remember that one. And all you Gen Ys are going to go, that's a dumb song. Well, no, you're not. You're going to like it. I think you're going to like it, right? Because it tells a story about an encounter that Peter had with Jesus that we don't read about in Scripture. It's inferred in Scripture. We're told it happened, but we don't actually have any reference of what happened in that Scripture. So let's have a look at this verse in John chapter 20, these verses here. The first one, resurrection morning. Early on Sunday morning, it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And some versions say Mary came on her own, other versions say Mary came with others, and that's just different accounts of the story. The fact is Jesus still rose from the dead. If you're not sure about that, if that's the kind of question you've got, listen to my message from C3 The Rule this morning. I spoke about evidence for the resurrection, a completely different message, and in there I addressed some of those things. Mary came to the tomb, and other versions say she came with the other Mary, and they were preparing to bury Jesus. They were preparing to prepare his body for burial because they didn't have time to do it. Jesus' body had to be taken off the cross and quickly buried before Passover. And they didn't have time to do the ritual spices and all that kind of stuff, embalming that they would do in those days. So they came back on Sunday morning after Sabbath to do that. She went to the... What did I say? So she found the tomb empty. That's right. I'm thinking about a different version. She found the tomb empty. So she ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Most scholars say that's probably John who's writing this. It's not 100% certain, but that's a pretty good guess. So Mary Magdalene. Who is Mary Magdalene? She's a woman. The only thing the scriptures tell us emphatically about her is she is a woman whom Jesus had delivered and set free from 7 demons. I don't know what that means, but she was clearly a troubled woman, for whatever reason. And there are all kinds of things that church history has placed upon her, that she was a prostitute or she was the Mary who anointed with Jesus with oil. And that may be so. We don't know from Scripture 100%. We can build a pretty good argument that that may be the case. She may have also been Mary, the mother, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. That's a possibility too. But we don't know for certain. All we do know is that this was a woman who had come into an encounter with Jesus, a traumatized woman. Who's seen The Chosen? Anyone watch The Chosen? Looking forward to the new release. Season 2 is out, well, probably tomorrow our time, I believe. The Chosen is amazing, and it talks about Mary Magdalene. She's in the opening scene. A woman who is traumatized, without hope in this world, and she has an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus turns her life around. She had been a person who had this encounter, so much so that despite the despair, despite the loss, that Jesus, as she had watched Jesus die, she'd been there at the foot of the cross. Her love for him was so great that even in her despair, she still found the courage to go to the tomb and prepare him for burial as a way of honoring him for what he had done for her. A woman who had been in despair found hope and deliverance only to be returned to despair all over again. And she goes to the tomb and she finds it's empty. So she goes and finds Peter and John. Let's assume it's John. And she said, they've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They're both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. In a few moments when we listen to this story, we're going to hear in song this story. They came to this empty tomb. The other disciple outran Peter and got there. Verse 5, he stooped and looked in and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. He waited outside. Simon Peter arrived and he saw and he went inside. And he also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. While the cloth that covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first, he went in. So he gets there, waits outside. Peter comes, then John comes in and went inside. And it says he saw and he believed. John, if it was John, most likely, he had a revelation that Peter didn't have yet. He saw and he believed. Some people believe before others. Some of you might believe today for the first time. You might believe for the first time today. It doesn't actually matter when you believe. What matters is if you believe. So he went in, he saw, and he believed because they hadn't understood. All his teaching, the scriptures, they hadn't understood any of that. That the scriptures had declared that Jesus must rise from the dead. And I'm like, look at this verse. Verse 10. Then they went home. They've seen something. John's believed in something, but they've got nothing to do. What are we going to do? They go home. They go back to all they know. Later on, even after they have experienced Jesus, they get to a point, seeing his resurrection, they get to a point and they go, we don't know what to do. Let's just go back fishing again. The same thing that they had done 3 years before. They were fishermen. Some of us experience God and then we just go about our business. That's what these guys were doing, just going about their business. Don't know what was going on inside John's heart, but I wonder what was going on inside Peter's heart. I think maybe Peter wanted to believe, but what had Peter just done just 72 hours before this? Anyone? He had denied Jesus 3 times. Maybe Peter had gone, well, even if he is alive, he won't have any room in his heart for me because I denied him. Maybe today you're here and you think, well, even if he's alive, what about me? You don't know me, Rowan. You don't know what I've done. And in this place today, Peter's story might speak to you. It might be Mary, who you've experienced something of God's power, and somewhere along the line, it's been like he's died and you haven't experienced it and you need to experience it again. Today, in this moment, you can. It might be like Peter, and you just know that even if it's true, And you perhaps even know that it's true, but deep down in your heart, you feel like you're not worthy, like Peter probably most likely felt. Because we know that at the point of his denial, it says he went out and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. Even if he's alive, it'll never be the same. Jesus, there's no way you would have room for me. And we don't know what happened with Peter. We don't have a revelation of that encounter in the scripture, but we do know that it has happened. In fact, the scriptures tell us, because the disciples come back and they say, this is the other scripture I was going to read, and I'm not going to for the sake of time today. It's found in Luke. It's the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they also, the next same day, they have an encounter with the risen Jesus. They come back and they say, it's true. Jesus is alive and he has appeared to Peter. So there's a reference to an encounter. It's as if Jesus went out of his way to have a private encounter with Peter to put him at rest and let him know, hey, Pete, you blew it, but my love is bigger than you're blowing it. You might be here today and you might have blown it. You might have feel like it's too big. The problems are too insurmountable. Today you can encounter, Jesus would come to you and say, you might have blown it, but my love is bigger than you're blowing it. Let's go on with the story. Now we're going to have a look at what happened to Mary. Mary, she stayed at the tomb. The others went home. Full credit to Mary. She doesn't know where to go. She stays there. She's staying at the tomb crying. She wept. She stooped to look in. The same tomb that the dudes had just experienced a few minutes before, and it was empty. And she sees two white-robed angels. Hands up, thinks Mary's good for just sticking around long enough. Yeah? The dudes just shot through and went back to life. At least Mary got the credit of staying there, and she gets the encounter. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and one sitting at the foot where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him. Can you see the despair in her? What am I going to do now? I came to pay my respects, and I can't even do that. It's hopeless. Next verse. She turned to leave. And she saw someone standing there, but it was Jesus, and she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and I will get him. Mary, Jesus said. Have you ever had a Mary moment? A revelatory moment? She turned to him and she cried out and she said, Rabboni. The moment of despair that turned to hope. The Mary moment. When suddenly the gardener turns into her Savior. The disciples on the road to Emmaus have spent seven miles talking to him, not knowing who he was. Suddenly he sits down, he breaks bread, he opens his hands, they see the scars in his hands, and they go, oh, he's alive. That revelation moment. Today, my prayer for you is that you will encounter a revelation moment. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. I don't want you just to know about Jesus. I don't want you just to have a mental assent to Jesus. I want you to encounter the risen Jesus. Have a Mary moment. Have a moment of clarity. A moment when despair turns to hope. And so Mary's had this moment. Peter hasn't. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to play this song by Don Francisco that tells the story, hypothetically, about Peter after he's left that tomb and he's gone home and he's in the house, still afraid, still thinking that any moment the Romans could come, ransack the place and take away anybody who claimed to be Jesus' disciple. They were trying to shut down the Jesus movement, remember? That sense of hopelessness, that sense that even if it's different, even if he appears to Mary, even if he's alive, he won't accept me back. And so I want you to listen to the words of this song called He's Alive. You might like to stand, actually, and just close your eyes and reflect on it. No, you don't have to. No, just stay seated. It's fine. I'll get you to stand back up in a moment. Just sit there and just reflect on the words to this song for a few moments.
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and the voice began to call. Hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him. Then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into
Amen. He is alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. We are forgiven. We are set free. We are offered hope. We are offered resurrection power. Let's stand now. The same power that conquered the grave lives in you. Maybe you're here today and you want that power. You need that power because you feel powerless. Maybe you're here or you're watching online, on screen right now. And you want to know this Jesus that rose again. Maybe you know about him. Maybe you know it in here, but you want to know it in here. One of the guys in church today at Thrill handed me a document that he printed off from the ABC today. It was done by McCrindle Research. And some of you might have seen it. It was talking about people, whether they believe in the resurrection or not in Australia. About 20% said they definitely don't. About another 18 or 20% said they don't think it could have happened. About 20%, 25% I think it was, said they definitely do. 25%. But here's the clincher. Added all together, there were 70% of people in our country that don't know or think it could have happened or believe it did happen. 70% of people who believe in the power of the resurrection or who are open to believing in the power of the resurrection. Today, I want you to experience that power so that you can take it and shine it and live it. And experience in other people's lives. That same power that conquered the grave lives in you. Today, if you haven't followed Jesus, if you've never done that, right now I'm going to give you an opportunity before we open up our altar. We're going to be done in about 10 minutes at the most. But right now, I just want to give you that opportunity. I wonder if you could just close your eyes wherever you are, unless you're driving and you're watching online. Not a good idea. Close your eyes for a moment. And in a moment, I would love to give you an opportunity to raise your hand. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. I won't call you out the front for this. I would just like to give you an opportunity to raise your hand and say, Rowan, I would love to meet Jesus. I would love to experience him in my life personally. If you've never done that, or you want to come back to him, you want to renew and rekindle that relationship, I'd love you just right now to raise your hand up. Just going to take 10 seconds. There might be someone here today that says, that's me. I want to have that relationship with Jesus. Just raise your hand up if that's you, or you want to come back into a deep relationship with him. If that's you, raise your hand right now. If you're watching online, let us know in the chat. Click on a link and let us know. If there's a link, otherwise just say in the chat, I'd like to follow Jesus. And we will get our team to get in touch with you. It's the most important decision that you could make. Thank you, Lord. And just want to wait 5 more seconds just in case there's anybody here. Right, well, here's how the rest of the service is going to go. Our team are going to lead us in these lyrics. The same power that conquered the grave lives in us. And if you need a touch of that resurrection power to rekindle, refire your life, your faith, you need a touch of his power to rescue you. You need a touch of his power to restore relationship. You need a touch of his power to do something in your family or in your financial world or in your body or the body of a loved one who is unwell or sick, I'm going to pray that that revelation of that power will drop into your life. I'm actually not going to pray for the healing or for the thing or whatever. I thought about doing that. I fully intended on doing that until midway through my message. And I just felt the Lord say, pray that the people get the revelation of the power. That's verse we started with, that you would get the revelation of that power. You see, there's nothing quite like getting it yourself. It's one thing to have your pastor or a leader, someone pray for you, and that's all good. But my prayer today is that you will get a revelation of that power that lives in you, and then you will leave this place and you will apply it to your need. You will apply it to your situation. And it's not that I can't pray and shouldn't pray, and at times I will, as your leaders, but today my prayer is that you'll get a revelation of power that will help you with this need and tomorrow's need and the need next week and the need next month, because you'll get a fresh encounter with God's power. And so here's what we're going to do. As our team lead us, we're going to do this very COVID safe. We're going to ask you to come out of your seat. If it's easy, if you're in the middle, walk out that way, walk up the back and come down this side. Come down your left, my right, and then make your way across the front and socially distance households if you need to. Come right over to the left. First person moves right over to my left, your right, and just space yourself across. And if you end up going up the aisle, we'll figure that out. Sonia's going to stand there and make sure you don't trip on the camera or anything like that. Just watch as you walk across there. And I'm just going to pray over this side for people. And so after you've received some prayer, just move on. If you're not coming for prayer, that's fine, but don't switch off. Can you help me by praying for the people who are coming for prayer? Because they need it today. There are people here who need to have their faith rekindled, their hope ignited again, and you praying for them will do that. That's a loving thing to do. So I'd love you to stretch out your hands as well and praying for people. If you're watching online, I can't pray for you individually. I'm going to pray for you now before we do this. Okay, so if that's you online and you have a point of need, whether it's live or afterwards, that's okay, because God's not bound by time. I can pray for you on Sunday, Easter Sunday. You could be watching this 3 years' time. It's still applicable to you. So Lord, let's pray for everyone watching online who isn't in the room. Could you stretch out your hands in faith and pray for them? Lord, we pray for every person watching online, those on holidays right now that are watching, those that are watching on the replay. We pray that wherever their point of need is, that they would get a revelation of that same power that conquered the grave, that their hearts would be flooded with light, that they would know the hope that is available to them through the power of the resurrection. I pray that that power, that authority would settle in them, that they would get a sense of authority on the inside, that they would begin to speak in faith over their problems and their challenges and declare that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, is able to defeat every enemy that would come against me. Lord, bring healing, bring provision, bring abundance into every area of their world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Our team are going to sing, and if you want prayer, start to make your way across the front now. Don't be shy.
Lives in me.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. We hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching C3 Church Camden.